house. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, that you would meet us at our point of need, Father. I pray that this would be a time that we would be challenged and encouraged. And Father God, that we would be able to focus on what you have for us tonight. I pray, Lord, that your word would be clear and your Holy Spirit would be teaching and speaking to us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So I'm going to have some video clips in this message tonight that are going to be a little hard to see from the back. So if you guys want to have a better look, you're probably going to be better off up here near the front so you can see the clips. And they'll be relevant to the message. So I want to share with you guys a message that stems in part from feelings that we've had over the last year. If I asked you tonight how many of you are tired, I think all of us would say, man, we're just exhausted. And it seems like it's this tiredness that we carry from one day to the next. It seems like there's no point of time where we feel rested. It feels like we just carry this, you know, this tiredness from day to day to day to day. And when you're tired, it's hard to do anything. It's hard to get motivated. It's hard to engage. It's hard to have that let's go get them attitude, because it's when you're tired, you don't feel like doing anything. And so what does the world offer when we're tired? See, the world has a solution for that. And that's what I want to talk to you tonight. I want to talk to you about, you know, how many of you need a Red Bull tonight? We're not going to give any, but, you know, just that's the world's solution to it. You drink this energy drink and you have this burst of energy that you can go out and just conquer the world. I love the commercials with all the energy drinks. Some of those commercials are just hilarious. I'm going to show you one of my all-time favorites. This is from a Super Bowl commercial from 2008. Okay, the energy drinks have been around for some time now. And I want you, this is for AMP, the drink AMP. And I love this. Please don't try this at home, okay? And that'll go for all the videos that I'm going to show you. But here's what it looks like when you take an AMP. It's one of those, like, how do they come up with these commercials? But please don't try that at home. That could be painful and dangerous. But here's the point behind these energy drinks. The point is that it's hard for us to function when we're down. It really is. It is. And what are the things that keep us from functioning with energy and to be able to have that energy and that desire and that gung-ho-ness? You know, what is it that keeps us from that? There's a lot of things. Stress, fatigue, you know, maybe you're not sleeping enough. Problems that keep you up at night, that keep you worried, that keep you stressed out. All of these things rob your energy. And so someone had the brilliant idea of coming up with energy drinks. And that's a multi-billion dollar industry. Let me show you some of the numbers just so you get an idea. Here are the top five energy drink sales for 2020, the year that just ended. Red Bull sold $2.9 billion in sales of Red Bull. And that's just the regular Red Bull. You add the sugar-free, it's another $688 million in sales. That takes it well over $3 billion. Monster energy drinks, $1.76 billion. And if you add the sugar-free, that's another $688 million. Well over $2 billion. And I'm not even including on here, PepsiCo bought Rocket, and they bought, and they added to their AMP, and they have like a whole category of like 30 flavors of energy drinks, and they do a tremendous job with it. The whole energy drink industry is estimated at around $50 billion a year. $50 billion a year. And by 2025, it's estimated it's going to be up to $83 billion. So if you want something to invest in energy drink companies. But here's the point. What does it say? What is this? What do these numbers say about our society? What do they say about us? We're not the only ones feeling tired. Everybody's tired. Everybody's lost their energy. Everybody, in numbers that are just, to buy that many energy drinks, there's got to be, I know there's dumb, foolish people that'll buy it just for the heck of it and drink a six pack and then die. But for the most part, people drink it because they need that boost of energy. Because they're working long hours and they're running out of energy. Because they're working 7 days a week and they can't keep up and they need the energy. Because they're hardly sleeping and they need to be able to get going and they drink. Now, they're horrible for you, for your health. They're horrible for you, these drinks. But they tell you something very real. And that is that there is this common problem that we all have of lacking energy and lacking enthusiasm for doing the things that we need to be doing, whatever they are. And so, energy in a can, wouldn't that be nice? I mean, think about it, energy in a can. I'm gonna show you another video. This video is just another funny video of how this is marketed. I thought it was pretty cool. And so it's not every church that'll show you a video that has a Your Mama contest on it, all right? So just showing you that we like variety. And so here you go. I think you'll enjoy this.
So ugly, she threw a boomerang and never came back.
Your mama's so ugly, the plastic surgeon sued her.
Your mama's so ugly, they renamed Halloween Yo Mama Ween.
Your mama's so ugly, she made a mime scream.
Ni mama hao shou, yang chong, ya ke le.
What he said in Chinese, your mama's so ugly, she made the onion cry. Again, you drink the energy drink, you're able to make fast decisions. But not all the commercials are like that. Some of the commercials reflect on what we need, that extra boost we need to be able to do things in life that we want to do. And we're going to get to God's word. Just give me a second as we build towards this. You know, what is it that we desire in life? If I ask you to make a list for me, or what are the most important things in your life right now? What are your dreams? I think this next commercial for an energy drink, for Red Bull particularly, captures it. Now, the only problem with the video is amazing. And the commercial is really well done. The only problem is that the things that you desire and that the video talks about, Red Bull doesn't get it done. Red Bull doesn't get it done for that. But something else does. And that's where I want to transition. So watch this really, really good Red Bull commercial about our dreams and our desires.
Up every morning with a passion. I want to wake up with a smile on my face and be able to say I love what I do. About it, or you go out and make it happen.
I want to wake up every morning with a passion. That's something I think everybody would feel amazing about, just waking up every morning with a passion. I want to wake up with a smile on my face and be able to say, I love what I do. You can dream about it, or you can go out and make it happen. Great message. It really is a great message in that commercial. The only thing, like I said, is that Red Bull's not going to do it. Yeah, that's not going to do it for you. But what will do it? What would it take for us to wake up every morning with a passion? What would it take for us to smile every day and say, I love what I do? What would it take for us to make it happen? Because those are the questions. Those are the questions. And I think all of us can relate to the idea of feeling down. I think all of us can relate to feeling down. And you know, we live in a society where it's bad to say you're tired. People look down on you. It's bad to say you're feeling down. People look down on that. Everything's supposed to be okay all the time. And you're always supposed to be good. And everything should be fine. And we're so conditioned when somebody asks you, how you doing? What's the standard answer? Good or fine. You're dying, but you're going to say fine. Because that's what is expected of you to say in our culture. And I think we all know what it means to feel down. As Christians, sometimes we feel down as well. Because Christians are not exempt from stress. How much stress is there in your life right now? Think about it. Sometimes we're down because we just have fatigue. We work too long, we sleep too little, we too much is demanded of us. We spend too much time doing things that just give us physical fatigue. How many of us have problems? Hello? Everybody has problems. And problems have a way of making you feel down. Now, all of these things, they rob our passion from us. They rob our energy. They rob our life. And so what we really would like to have is some kind of Red Bull moment, but a spiritual Red Bull moment. If it were only as easy for a Christian to be lifted up as just having an energy drink, wouldn't it be nice if we had a spiritual Red Bull drink we could sell? Wow, there's a market for it. It would be amazing. You know, a young lady once asked the Apostle Paul if he had any for sale. Any of that spiritual Red Bull. And he rebuked her because he says that the gifts of the Spirit are not for sale, they're free. Though that passion that we could have and that we are very capable of having doesn't have to be bottled. It's not something that there's no magic formula for it. There really isn't. Sometimes we feel that God doesn't even care for us. I mean, we can get pretty low as human beings. Sometimes we feel like God just doesn't care. Sometimes we feel that God has forgotten about our situation because we've prayed for how long? And we don't see God doing something about it. And we're like, God, like, do you even remember? Sometimes we feel God is ignoring us. That's a very real, and you can read the Psalms. The Psalms are full of the psalmist saying these things. There's a bunch of them, Psalm 10, Psalm 44. There's a bunch of Psalms that they're like, Lord, come on, like, what happened? Why aren't you listening to me? There was a time where that was Israel's cry to the Lord. They were down and couldn't seem to get back up. And they thought that God had forgotten them. And here's where I want to go to the Word of God with you. I want you to open your Bibles in Isaiah 40 with me tonight. And we're going to be looking at verses 27 to 31. Isaiah 40, 27 to 31. And interestingly, this passage is going to talk to us about having that passion, having that energy to serve God, having that desire. How do you get it? This passage tells us what we need to do to have that passion. Isaiah 40, beginning in verse 27. Isaiah 40, starting in verse 27. Here's what the Word of God says. O Jacob, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? O Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the the depths of his understanding. Verse 29. He gives us power. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youth will become weak and tired. Young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. This is a passage that has been read many times, and maybe we haven't looked at it from the optics or from the lens of somebody who is just tired and needs God to refresh them, give them that energy, give them that passion, turn them back on, connect them, get them excited and passionate about doing God's work as maybe once we were. And I think a lot of it has to do and starts with our attitude. I think a lot of this begins with our attitude. Now, our attitude is shaped by our understanding about who God is. This is a key principle here in this passage. Our attitude is shaped by our understanding of who God is. The people of Israel had a problem. They're questioning God. And what is God's response to them? God's response to them is, you guys don't understand me. If you understood me, you wouldn't be worried about this. Listen to how he says it. I've highlighted for you the key here. Oh, Jacob, how can you say that the Lord doesn't see your troubles? Oh, Israel, how can you say that God ignores your right? You see what's highlighted there is the prophet telling the people, do you have no idea who God is? Because if you had any idea who God is, you wouldn't say such a thing. How could you say that? And in verse 28, he continues and says, have you never heard? Have you never understood? See, again, those questions are really, really, really revealing about the attitude of the people. The problem was they did not understand God. They didn't know who God was. Have you never heard? Have you never understood? Do you know who God is? You see, when we start to feel that God doesn't care, that God, you know, is not listening, that God, you know, is ignoring us, that God is hiding from us, you know, when we start feeling these things, that attitude that it provokes in us of feeling down and poor me and I'm a victim and God doesn't love me and all of this stuff, that all stems from not understanding God. When you understand God, then what does the prophet say? The prophet says, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the whole earth, of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. He doesn't get tired. And no one can measure the depths of his understanding. Are you kidding? Is there anything he doesn't understand? He created the universe. What do you mean he doesn't understand you? What do you mean he doesn't understand what's happening in your life? He knows everything. He understands everything. He cares for you. He sent his son and died on the cross for you. That's how much he cares. You think somebody that pays that high of a price for you is not going to care about you? When you pay a high price for something, you value it. You take care of it. You worry about it. God paid the highest price for us, not because he wanted to own us or buy us, but because he loved us. So when you understand God, your attitude changes about how God feels about you. Misunderstanding God is going to give you an attitude of defeat. It's going to give you an attitude of defeat. I can't, I never will. There's no hope, there's no use. What's the point? It's that attitude of just giving up. And that's a reflection of not understanding God. When you understand God, you're going to have an attitude of victory. If God is for me, who can be against me? Think about that verse. That verse tells you the attitude we need to have. If God, the God I know, if he's for me, I got this. I got this. Who can be against me? Who can challenge me? I mean, yeah, I'm going to have issues and problems, but I'm not worried because he's with me. Because the one who takes care of me doesn't sleep. He doesn't get weary. He doesn't get tired. He never turns the other way. He's right there with me. He's my refuge. He's my rock. He's my fortress. I mean, how many Bible verses tell you how God is there for you? He cares for you. He watches over you. So let's get over this little fit about God not caring. Our attitude should be an attitude of victory. Absolute victory because God is with us. That doesn't mean you're not going to have a problem. That doesn't mean that you stop praying for what you're asking God to do. But then you trust Him. You sit and wait and watch what God is going to do. And you know what? God is not in a hurry. We're in a hurry. You and I are always in a hurry. God's got all the time in the world. He made time. He existed before time. He's not worried about it. That's why He can promise Abraham a child and then take 25 years to give it to him. Like, think about it. Promise Abraham a child at the ripe old age of 75 and then wait 25 years to give it to him. It's like, God, come on, he's 75. You got if he's going to have a child, he needs to have it now. I mean, come on, it's already past. Like, God's not on our time scale. And there's so many examples in the Bible of that. So if we understand God, we're not going to be worried about it. We're not going to lose. We're not going to have that defeated attitude. What is our situation? Our growing weary, our growing weak and tired is very predictable. Actually, it's expected of us. But you didn't know that. We're expected to get tired. The one who made us, the one who understands us, knows very well how tired we get. We just read it in the passage. Even the youth will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. So what about us second generation young people or third generation young people? If the young get tired, what's left for us? It's predicted. It says it there in the passage. It's normal. It's part of our fallen world and part of our body. Just we're going to get tired. We're going to get weary. We're going to lose strength and energy. It's going to happen. Weariness is not a problem of age or maturity. It's not a problem of age or maturity. Even the young people get tired. It's a problem of fatigue. Because battles take a toll on us. They really do. Man, when things are going cool, when things are going well, isn't it awesome? Those brief moments in life. When everything is going well, isn't it awesome? But battles, man, the battles take a toll on us. They really do. You can have one argument with one person that lasts 10 minutes. And for the next week, that's going to stress you out beyond measure. And you're going to lose sleep. And it's going to take a toll on your body. You're going to feel tired. You're going to feel miserable. Battles take a toll on us. And it's predicted there. The young will get tired. And they will fall in exhaustion. Conflict takes a toll on us. Stress takes a toll on us. If you're under a stressful situation all the time, it takes a toll on you. Just look at, if you want to test this, what is probably the most stressful position you can have in this country as president. And I don't care who. I'm not talking about the current president. I'm talking about any president. Look at the before and after pictures of every president in this country that we've ever had. Inauguration pictures and a picture when the 4 years are up. You can see the aging. They've been in office for 4 years and they've aged 20 years. You can see it. Black hair is now white hair. There wasn't a crow's foot. Now there's 27 of them on each eye. I mean, you see it. It's palpable. It's obvious. The more stress you have in your life, the more of a toll it's going to take on you. High stress jobs like law enforcement and medical, the medical field, all of these jobs, they age you and they tire you because of the continuous stress. Now, you don't have to have a job like that to be under stress. You can have stress from a relationship. You can have stress from having to deal with somebody who's sick. You can have stress from losing a loved one. You can have, I mean, so many things produce stress in our lives. Financial problems produce a ton of stress in our lives. Relational problems. I mean, it's not even optional. We're all going to get tired. We're all going to get weary. That's our situation. But what is our solution? What is our solution? Our solution is plugging into God. That's our solution. Plugging in to God. God needs to be our energy source. The passage we just read says it, and I want to illustrate it for you in a very practical way. But what does the passage say? He gives power to the weak, and he gives strength to those people who have lost it, the powerless. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high. I thought it was hilarious that, you know, the Red Bull says it gives you wings, you know, for you to fly. Well, what does God say? He can make you fly too. Those who trust in the Lord are going to soar high on wings like eagles. They're going to run and not grow weary. They're going to walk and not faint. But here's the problem, because you trust the Lord. You're here tonight because everybody here tonight is a Christian. And you've trusted the Lord, so why don't you have this energy? Why aren't you soaring like an eagle? Why aren't you running and walking and not getting tired? And I think it's because we've all misunderstood what it means to trust in the Lord, to plug into the Lord. You see, I want to illustrate that to you with this fan I got here. You look at this fan, and this fan has every component. It has the motor in the back. It's got the propeller, or whatever you call the blades. It's got everything you need to be an incredible fan. Now, how much air is it blowing on me? None. But why not? Everything is there. It was designed to blow air. And it has everything it needs to blow air. Why is it not blowing air? It's missing one thing, right? It's obvious. It's not a trick question. It's pretty obvious that why it's not blowing air. It's because it's not plugged in. Now, what happens when you plug this into the outlet? You're going to get air, right? It's going to do what it's supposed to do. Right now, this fan is really tired. It's not doing anything. It can't move a blade if it wanted to. It's limp. Now you plug it in and it's going to blow. It's going to be on fire. That thing is going to have so much energy. It's incredible. But what happens when you unplug it again? That energy that it had, it's after you unplug it, it continues to spin. The blade continues to spin, but it starts slowing down. It starts slowing down. And then eventually, it stops. You see, the only way to keep this working all the time is to keep it plugged in all the time. And that this fan is like our, like us. We're like this fan. We've gotten so used to plugging in on Sundays and Thursdays or Sundays and Wednesdays for a couple of hours, and then we unplug and we expect that fan to go for the rest of the week. We expect to have the energy. We expect to have to do what we were designed to do, but the only problem is we're not plugging in. And I'm not saying you have to be in church to plug in, because as a matter of fact, you don't. But for most Christians, the only time you're ever plugged in is when you walk through those doors. And you sing the songs and you listen to the message and you get energized and the Spirit of God talks to you and you're doing what you got to do. You get the energy, you make decisions, you trust Christ, you make a decision, I'm going to start working for the Lord, I'm going to da-da-da-da. And then by tomorrow morning, it's like, I can't. Why? Because you disconnected from the wall. You disconnected from God. When the Bible talks about trusting God, when the Bible says that He's our source of strength, what the Bible is telling us is that we need to stay continuously plugged in. That's what Paul said when he says, pray without ceasing. Paul doesn't mean that you spend 24/7 on your knees. What he's telling you is stay connected all the time. Have that life of prayer, continuous prayer with God. When you talk to God, you sing to God, you share with God your opinion of what's happening, you ask God questions, you have a conversation with God. This is how you stay connected. This is how we stay connected. You set aside time to read His Word. You every day, you set aside time to fast and to pray and to get on your knees. And you set aside time to sing to the Lord. And you stay connected. Staying plugged into God gives us the energy we need to get up and do what we got to do. You can dream of it or you can go out and get it. But the only way you're going to go out and get it is if you stay plugged in. And I don't know when it happened in history, but at some point in history, we adopted the idea that plugging in means going to church twice a week. And that's the only time we read the Bible, and that's the only time we pray, and that's the only time we sing. It's not supposed to be that way. We should be spending time with God daily, quality time with God daily. And then the not so much quality time, but that connection all day, every day. The only time you're not really talking to God is when you're sleeping. That should be the only time when you're not really talking to God. Because it's kind of hard to talk to God when you're sleeping. But when you wake up in the morning, what are the first words out of your mouth? For some people, it's a curse word. Beep, beep. Another day. Our first words out of our mouth had to be, thank you, God. Lord, help me. I need you today. Father, thank you for another day. And that's where the day begins. And how should your day end after you've been talking to Him all day? All right, God, I'm tired. I'm going to sleep. See you in the morning. And you're out. That continuous connection is what makes the difference. Two things we can do, really. Trust in the Lord, which means plug into the Lord. It means hope, wait upon, rest upon. That's what it means by trusting in the Lord. Look at what Jesus said in the book of Matthew. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry a heavy burden, and I'm going to give you rest. Is that not clear? You're tired? Bring it to me. You're carrying a really heavy load? Bring it to me. I'll carry it for you. That's what God is telling us. But maybe we don't believe it. Maybe we don't remember. Maybe we've never really tried it. God, you know what? I'm all stressed out about this. There's nothing I can do. This is in your hands. Stressing out is not going to help me solve anything. You know what, God? I'm going to leave it to you. You handle it. I've done what I can. I'm putting it in your hands. And don't keep carrying that burden. It's like that guy who's hitchhiking. And he's got this backpack with 60 pounds of things in it. He can barely walk. His feet are swollen. He's hitchhiking. A guy with a pickup truck stops to pick him up. He gets in the back. And when the guy looks in the rearview mirror, the guy is standing on the bed carrying the backpack. It's like, are you an idiot? Let the truck carry it. That's why he picked you up. Put the backpack on the truck and sit down. You don't have to keep carrying it. And that's what God is saying. Look, come to me. I'll carry it. You don't have to carry this by yourself. You don't have to be, it can't be clearer than that. Come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest. Find new strength in God. By connecting to God, there's an endless supply of strength. Endless. What does the passage in Isaiah says? The people who come to him, who trust him, who plug into him, you're going to have what you want. They will soar high. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. So the first thing we can do is trust the Lord. Trust him. Understand him. He's on top of it. He's got it. Don't stress about the stuff he's got to do. He'll do it. Don't stress about the things you can't change. He'll take care of it. Don't stress about things that you, there's a saying in Spanish that I use very often. I love the saying, but I'm going to translate it to English. I'm sure there's something similar in English. It says, look, don't worry about crossing the river until you get to the bridge. When you get to the bridge, then you worry about crossing the river. And what the refrain or the motto says, or the saying means, is that why are you stressing about doing something now that it's not even time to do it yet? We're not even there yet. Wait till you get there. You may not even have to cross the bridge. Why are you all upset about it? What if this happens? And what am I going to do if that happens? And what if the other thing happens? Listen, you're stressing about things that haven't happened. Trust in the Lord, and when something happens, then you'll figure out, and he'll help you figure out how to cross the bridge and how to deal with it. That's what it means to trust in the Lord. That's going to take so much weight off of us. And go back. Revelations 2 tells us where we got to go back to. Jesus said to that church in Ephesus, I have this complaint against you. He said a lot of good things about them. You're a great church, he says to them. You're awesome. But I have this one thing against you. You don't love me or each other like you did at first. Look how far you've fallen. Turn back to me and do the work you did first. If you do not repent, I'm going to come and remove the lampstand from its place among the churches. He's telling this church, look, the one thing I have against you, you've lost your first love. You've got sidetracked. In other words, you know what I have against you? You unplugged. You disconnected from me. You don't love me the way you used to love me. You don't love each other the way you used to love each other. Just go back. Go back to the way it was. Start again. Start again loving God and loving each other the way you're supposed to. That's what he's saying. Now, in conclusion tonight, there's one component we haven't mentioned at all. We're talking about mental fatigue. We're talking about emotional and mental stress, tiredness, weariness, anxiety, all of that stuff that puts us down. There is something called physical tiredness. And the solution for that is not magic. It's sleep and eat. But that's pretty basic. If you sleep and you eat the amount you're supposed to, the amount of sleep you're supposed to have, and the amount of food you're supposed to have, that will go a long way in giving you energy and make you feel good about life and what you're doing, because you will take care of the physical fatigue. What we've addressed tonight is not the physical fatigue. Because you might say, yeah, all of that, but I'm still tired. Yeah, well, sleep. I'm on that boat. I know these principles, but I'm tired a lot. Well, because I don't sleep enough. And so I'm working on it. We all got to work on it, but we got to be more diligent. We got to try harder to be more respectful of the body that God has given us, because that's our temple. That's the temple he has given. He dwells in it. So we should take care of it, but that's another message. which I'm not too fond of, for obvious reasons. Emotionally, mentally, spiritually speaking, number one, our attitude is going to be what determines our altitude. We're going to fly as high as our attitude will take us. Our attitude may keep our nose on the ground, or it's going to let us soar. And that's going to be based on whether you really know what God is like. How could you say, have you never heard, have you never understood? We read it now in Isaiah. Because if you had heard and you had read and you had understood, you would be flying. Because you know the God you serve. You know the God you serve. Number two, we will grow weary. We all will, but that's not an excuse to give up. You're going to get tired, but don't give up. Don't give up. I love it how Paul says it to the Galatians. He says, so let not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Don't give up. Don't quit. You're on the winning team. If you quit now, you'll miss the end of the game where we win. Don't quit. Keep fighting. Keep going. Don't grow tired of doing what's right. And Psalm 55 says it as well. Give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. Put your burdens in his hands. You know, when you plug into God, not only do you get energy from him, not only does the Spirit of God come and flow through you, not only do you have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life flowing continuously from God to you when you're connected, but you're also giving God burdens. You're unloading. You're de-stressing. You're putting it on God. And so you're getting power from God, and you're releasing burdens to God. That combination will help you fly, soar, live the passion and the dream that you have for serving the Lord. We will rest upon the Lord and find new strength. We're not going to give up. We're going to rest on the Lord, and we're going to find new strength. So I'll ask you again tonight, who needs a Red Bull? Spiritually speaking, I think we all do. I think we all do. So very practical, what do you do with this message tonight? We all said at the beginning that we're all tired. I get it. If I asked you a series of questions, we would all be in agreement that we are stressed out. Most of us are under stress in our lives. We're dealing with problems. We're fighting battles. We're dealing with anxiety, with uncertainty. There are things that worry us. We all have this. We're all in this boat together. So what do we all have to do? What's the practical application? What are you going to take home from this? What are you going to do with what I just said? If you're not clear in your mind of what you're going to do with what I just said, you're going to say, wow, that was pretty cool. I love the videos. But what did he talk about? Well, Red Bull. What are we going to do with this? First, you're going to understand who God is. Remind yourself who God is. Continuously, my God is the creator of the universe. Is there anything he can't do? My God knows and understands everything, so I'm sure he understands my predicament. My God has the power to do anything and everything, so my problem is not that big to him. Understand him. Have a right concept of him. That's the first thing. And the second thing you're going to do is you're going to work on being connected to him 24/7. Or at least not 24/7. 24/7 minus the time you sleep. You're going to be connected to God. Wake up in the morning, talk to him. After you brush your teeth, talk to him so you don't make a mess. After you swallow, talk to him, not with your mouth full. While you're driving, talk to him. In between phone calls, talk to him. It doesn't have to be this drawn out, long, ecclesiastical prayer of Almighty God in heaven. You know, it's more of like, God, wow, that call was so annoying. Lord, help me. Help me not want to kill this person. Help me not want to choke them. You know, Lord, help me clean my mind, Lord, because right now I want to smack this person across the head. I mean, just talk to God. Talk to him openly. Have this conversation with him. God, thank you because you helped me. You gave me control. I didn't say what I wanted to say. I was able to control myself. Thank you, God. God, I really need you. God, this job is really getting to me, Lord. If you want me to if you have something else for me, bring it. If not, then Lord, help me deal with this. Lord, this problem that just hit me in the face, it didn't surprise you. You knew it was coming. It surprised me. Give me wisdom. Tell me how to deal with it. Give me the right words. You see, you can talk to God all day about everything that's happening in your daily life. And take aside some time to read the Bible. But I mean, like, sit down and meditate in the Word of God and take some time out to pray. To pray, just focus on prayer. Not just for your meals. This is a time set aside for prayer. Every day we got to do that. Every day. And trust me, those two things, reminding yourself of the God you serve and how great he is, and staying connected to him the whole day, every day, that's going to make a radical change in your life. That's going to give you that emotional and mental health and strength and power that you need to be able to serve God and do what you want us to do for him. It doesn't get any more practical than that. You can be a fan that's not plugged in, or you can be one that's plugged in. You figure it out. I think God needs us all to be plugged in, especially in the days that we are living. We all need to be plugged in. Let's stand up tonight.